Log Talk Radio.
Let's just say, Gary.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh yeah, y'all know what time it is.
Never gets old. Yes, sir. Pocket Fortune 12.
Come to make it do what it do.
We are officially in the building, as they say. We are ready for another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. March is upon us, gentlemen. And, again, we have a jam-packed edition. We got a lot of topics to go over. Very, very excited to roll out this new rapid-fire segment situation or for the show tonight. Not necessarily a segment, but maybe for the show. And as we always like to do, we like to do a quick shout-out to my co-host on the show, so we're going to start off with Mr. Asparagus Ford. Rob, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Going great, man. Got the asparagus in for lunch today, so doing good. Then got a little tasting in New Orleans tonight, had some gumbo for dinner, so getting it all in. Time to get it in.
This guy. All right. I have a prediction, Gary. At some point, Rob's taste buds will actually change or he'll start hating asparagus. So we'll see how that plays out, man. So, yeah.
I don't see that happening.
No sound soon.
So over and under is already upon us. So how are you feeling this evening, Gary?
Oh, doing good. I was a little intimidated with all these topics, but we'll see how it goes.
You got that. You can handle that. You got this.
Mm-hmm. He's out for sure. So we're going to wait for, obviously, JQ's going to jump on a little later. Hope everything is good with his guy. But really quickly, let's throw out the numbers. If you always want to call into the show, the number is always the same. It's the 424-243-9519. 424-243-9519. Follow us on X at the number 12, THMN Sports. And we are on Facebook, which you go to facebook.com/talkingsports12man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that arena as well. And always important, check Facebook. We post mock drafts, all the fun stuff, anything pertinent related to 12th Man Sports, as well as our blog topics as well. So that's what we try to do. So without further ado, let's kick this off here. We got a lot of topics to dive into, as Gary alluded to, so we're going to kick this off. And we're going to go right to this. We're going to talk about the projections on the number one seeds for the NCAA tournament by Rob. Go, my guy.
All right. Really quick here. I think three teams are already a lock as number one seeds. Houston and UConn, of course, in the South and the East. And I think Purdue in the Midwest. So I think those three teams are locked as number one seeds. I think Houston and UConn are the two best teams in the country. So you don't always play out that way in the NCAA tournament. We'll see. The last number one seed right now, I got Tennessee in the West, but don't rule out Arizona, Iowa State, North Carolina, and Duke.
Rob got it in. That was pretty impressive with 2 seconds to spare. Nice job here. What are the projections, Rob, for St. John's and for Iowa?
Now, St. John's and Iowa are both on the bubble. They're both on the first four teams out. They're both 10-9 in conference, 18-12 overall records. They're going to both have to have big wins in their conference tournament to advance. Obviously, if Iowa goes on the road and get a big win over Illinois this weekend, that will help them tremendously. But St. John's would definitely have to have a good win or two in the Big East tournament to advance. But the NCAA tournament definitely would love to see Rick Pitino back in there.
This guy had to add a little extra. Let's recap UConn versus Marquette.
UConn, as I said earlier, I think they're one of the two best teams in the country along with Houston. They get a big-time road win tonight. I don't know if they're as good as last year's national championship team, but this team is still capable of winning a national championship. Huge win on the road over a good Marquette team tonight, 74-67.
Stuff. All right. Zach Edey leads Purdue to a big road win over Illinois last night. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, Eddie came from behind, got a big win. Zach Edey over, I think, 28 points, double-double against on the road against a good Illinois team. As I mentioned earlier, Purdue is one of those number one seeds. This is the second time, it's the second year in a row that they've won the Big Ten regular season title outright. So that hasn't happened for quite some time. So big kudos to Purdue.
Well, the only thing that I would add to that is, you know, they had to rally back because, you know, their first 13 shots they missed. So that didn't help. That didn't help the start of the game.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Moving on to a bad loss for San Diego State. Talk about that.
Hey, San Diego State was one of the more physical teams in the NCAA tournament last year. They're still going to make the tournament, but obviously losing to UNLV last night, conference foe, UNLV's got a chance to be a threat. Every year in the NCAA tournament, you see one or two mid-majors make a run, and both San Diego State and UNLV are two of those teams that could possibly make a run. So, but a tough loss for them last night.
Good stuff. We got Houston, South Carolina, and Iowa State. Big surprises in college basketball. Keep going, Rob.
Yeah, Houston, not so much a huge surprise, but a lot of people thought they, it wouldn't be as easy for them going into the Big 12 Conference, and they have fooled a lot of people. I mean, that backcourt of Jamal Shea and L.J. Cryer for Houston, they're both good on the offense and the defensive end, and they've gone to the Big 12, which is the toughest basketball conference in America, and they've played outstanding. South Carolina, definitely a huge surprise. They're a veteran team. They play Tennessee tough tonight, but Dalton Connect for Tennessee is a player who's climbing draft boards in the NBA. So a tough loss for them at home. They're going to be a tough out there, physical team. Iowa State is in the middle of a battle right now as we speak against BYU right now. So, but Iowa State looking like a number two seed out of nowhere. Nobody thought they'd be this good this year.
40 seconds of that one. Hey, Jason Kelsey's retirement. What is next for the Eagles? Who wants that one?
Well, Gary.
Rob, go ahead
Eagles
with
fan.
This one. The only thing I can say is good.
Well,
dude, I figured that.
You know, when you look at free agency at the center position, I mean, there are a couple of guys out there. Andre James from the Raiders. You look at Lloyd Cushenberry, center from Denver, who's a free agent, who was Joe Burrow's center at LSU in the national championship, and Connor Williams from the Dolphins. All three of those guys are centers that were not franchised, that are top center prospects in the free agency pool. So maybe you see the Eagles go that route. I do have been picking a couple of offensive linemen late in the draft in my latest mock draft, particularly Trevor Keegan, offensive lineman from Michigan, who I think can play guard and center in the NFL.
And one thing that I will say with Kelsey, you know, he was one of the best centers in the league. He was dominant. He stayed healthy. You know, he had a fantastic career. I think there was still meat on the bone. I think he's leaving. I'm glad he's leaving at the right time. He's going to be healthy. He'll have a lot of opportunities to do a lot of different things. He did say yesterday, he mentioned that he had talked, when he was drafted, he had talked to the Cowboys, and he thought the Cowboys were going to select him. They didn't, and he went on to be a great.
There it is. Man, that's crazy. All right, Gary, let's keep this going. Let's talk about you got the next thing to discuss here, the Dallas Cowboys' plans for free agency. So you got 30 seconds to talk about that, Gary. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Jerry Jones said, hey, we're going to be all in. Then he says at the combine, he says, well, your definition of all in is not my definition of all in. I think Jerry's definition of all in is doing what Jerry does. He does very little in free agency, you know, and he depends on the draft. There's been exceptions. He's been bit in the ass a few times by that. I think that we would. I think that we'll get a running back probably from free agency. But this is what I would do. I know I'm over. This is what I would do if I were that. If I were the man in charge.
Okay.
First of all, I would go after Bobby Wagner, linebacker. I'd try and keep Tyrone Smith. I'd go after Derrick Henry. I'd keep Stephon Gilmore.
Wasn't Smith released, though?
Brandon Cooks. Well, he's free agent, you know, so we'll see. Mm. And Fletcher Cox I'd go after. Those players would make a difference. Then along with your draft, that would be all in for me.
They were talking about there's an opportunity for Renite and Stephon Diggs with his brother Trayvon Diggs. So that was interesting, too, that I heard about that as well with Buffalo because of how he disappointed in that. But, I don't know. We'll keep an eye on situations like that, too. So I was hearing some scuttlebutt about that, too, Garrett. So that's a pretty good list. You know, good stuff. Pretty solid. You're going to enemy lines, getting Fletcher Cox. But, that should be a good situation for the Cowboys for sure. So good stuff. Jerry Jones is trying to make moves. All right, it's on me here. So really quickly, does Kirk Cousins make the Cowboys a playoff team? Absolutely yes. Pretty easy to say from that perspective because we talked about the NFC South, Rob. We know that it was pretty much there for the taking. And, obviously due to our record, as the Bucks kind of limped into there with Baker Mayfield, if we had any semblance of good quarterback play, we'd have been great, but I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins is as bad as Desmond Ridder by any means. I'm just saying just any solid QB play would have had us in the playoffs for sure. Second question we have, where will Russell Wilson land? This is kind of a combo, if you will, so I'm going to reset the timer for that. I think there's a couple dominoes that have to fall. The Raiders should be a good look for the NFL and a little get back for Russell Wilson. The Giants, pretty interesting, right? I just threw that in there, right? What's going to happen with Daniel Jones? Then what happens if Kirk Cousins leaves? Maybe he's a fit for the Vikings. The Steelers appear to be out. They're saying that they want to stay with Kenny Pickett. And if you are the Patriots, let's think about this, too. I hear some scuttlebutt that they may not want to go with the young quarterback. They may want better leadership. So that's an option for Russell. But, again, I've kind of threw out some ones that I thought. As mentioned, I think that the Raiders would be a good look for the NFL as well as Russell Wilson, from my perspective.
You could mention the Steelers in there, too.
I did. I said the Steelers. Right now they're saying that they are kind of leaning towards Kenny Pickett, if you will, but we don't know, right? Right now this is one of the situations where if you're talking, you're lying. We have no clue what's going on right now. Go ahead, Gary. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, Russell Wilson is not the dominant player he once was, but he did have a solid year. He had almost 3,100 yards, 28 TDs to 8 interceptions, with completing 66% of his passes. So he had a solid year. He could help out a team. I definitely think the Steelers would be a good match for him. Of course, all the teams, the Raiders as well.
Yep.
Yeah. I think the Raiders will be the favorite and a logical choice here. I think a lot's going to depend on what happened in free agency, right? What's happening with Atlanta, right? I know Atlanta could be in a Baker Mayfield game. They could be in a Kirk Cousins game. They could be in a Justin Fields game, right? If Atlanta misses out on all three of those guys, they could be in play for Russell Wilson. If Tampa loses Baker Mayfield, they could be in play for Russell Wilson. I think Andre mentioned it earlier. I think the Patriots, and even though the Steelers are saying Kenny Pickett, I'm not ruling him out, but if I had to pick one team as the favorite, I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Well, when you mentioned Tampa, you mentioned Tampa, and the only thing I would say is maybe Baker Mayfield's fool's gold.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, like you said, you've got some opportunities. They tried Kyle Trask. He didn't do anything. So right now, Baker, you got into the playoffs, even though we had, again, a terrible division with the NFC South. But, right now, let's try to run him back. That's probably what they're thinking and not upset the apple cart, keep everything as is. And then we'll see if it's true, fool's gold, as you said, Gary, going into this season for sure. Who who will start for QB for the Steelers? And I think right now they're saying Kenny Pickett. That's what they're on the street. But is it Ryan Tannehill? Is there going to be a trade in the works? Like you said, Rob, is Russell Wilson an outside favorite, if you will? And again, I'm not quite sure if I trust Arthur Smith on a lot of things, but maybe he has another person in the room to try to assist him with that decision too. But right now, they're saying Kenny Pickett. Obviously, he was drafted the same year as Desmond Ridder, so maybe they're going to try to develop him. But I would assume they're going to have another veteran in the room somewhere to kind of assist if things go bad, as what happened with Desmond Ridder in Atlanta. So what say you guys on this particular topic? Go ahead, Gary.
Well, you know, I think that if I were them, I would go after Russell Wilson. I think he's better than what they got. And even if he didn't perform, he could definitely help that guy in the backup role and show him how, you know, how a professional NFL quarterback, how he handles himself, how he carries himself in practice, this sort of thing. You know, that's the one position that the Steelers are desperately needing, and I don't think they've got anything there that is going to, you know, move the needle for me.
Yeah, and I'm going to say Kenny Pickett, but, you know, the forgotten guy in this situation, as Andre mentioned it earlier, is Ryan Tannehill. What happened to him this offseason? He seems to be the forgotten guy in this free agency in this quarterback cycle here, right? So he's going to be an interesting piece here, too, that we're not thinking about here as a possibility for the Steelers and the Arthur Smith connection from their time in Tennessee. So if I had to rank them, I'm going to go Kenny Smith one. Not Kenny Smith, Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett number
thinking?
One.
You're fine.
I'm going to go Justin Fields number two, Ryan Tannehill three for the Steelers. But, you know, I'm not ruling them out as being in a Justin Fields game either.
Good stuff. I want to go back really quickly to the Raiders and Russell Wilson, because just really quickly, it feels like the Raiders are great at doing these reclamation projects, right? From the Rich Gannons of the world, they always get old quarterbacks seem to be kind of throwaways, and they seem to take them and just resurrect their career. So I think that's going to be an interesting situation too. Robbie mentioned it that Russell Wilson would be a favorite for the Raiders, so I just want to kind of throw that in there as well. All right, let's keep this moving here. Let's get I think we've got JQ on here as well. We're moving right along here. And we're going to talk about this. You're on time, man, so we're literally flying through. We're on topic number 12. Is Saquon Barkley the missing piece for the Texans? Go. What you got, Rob?
You know, I'm not sure if – you know, I hear there's some rumors that may be where obviously he would be a great weapon and a big piece for their football team. But I would like to see them get a little bit more talent on the perimeter for C.J. Stroud and some more offensive line help for C.J. Stroud before they address the running back position. That's just my opinion. I think if they can protect their franchise quarterback and get him some more weapons on the perimeter, obviously Barkley is a weapon that can help him in the passing game and in the run game too. But I would, you know, if I had to do a ranking, I'm going to go offensive line one, some weapons, whether it's a wide receiver or tight end two, just to help them on the perimeter in the passing game. That's more where I would be thinking along the lines for the Houston Texans.
Gotcha. All right, good stuff. You got a minute, JQ, if you want to talk about that real quick to my guy.
Well, the thing about it is that they you know, see them knock out Cleveland, a really good defense. They ran the ball before. They had chances to win the game. I don't know, because you don't have to spend a lot of money on Saquon. You still got TK on a rookie deal. I mean, that's like you can spend some money there. You got to get Thompson back healthy, get an offensive lineman, maybe bolster that defense just a tad bit. But Saquon, if you get Nico back healthy and Tank Dell back healthy, that's a pretty scary offense. I don't want to take the chance, you know.
Good stuff. All right, Rob, moving on. We're going to the next topic. Let's talk about some winners and losers and winners and takeaways, excuse me, from the NFL Combine. I'm going to give you a minute for this one, Rob. You got it.
All right, I'm going to have to go fast in a minute. I'm going to start with the
quarterback. Hey, you can have my minute because I don't even know.
All right. I'm going to start with the quarterback position. J.J. McCarthy looks like he could possibly be moving into the top 10 now into this draft as being the fourth quarterback taken in this draft. Michael Penix Jr., his arm talent was on display big time. But obviously, I think his medicals are going to still keep him in the second round. But, I mean, man, he threw the ball incredibly well at the combine. Bo Nix was supposedly impressive in meetings, so I still got him in the first round grade. Xavier Worthy, man, 4.21. I don't think he's going to move up into the top 20
John
like
Ross.
John Ross did, but I think Xavier Worthy is on that borderline of a late first, early second round pick. Joe Milton, we talked about arm talent. Man, he threw the ball incredibly well at the combine. But we all know he can't hit the side of a barn, so he's still going to be a mid to late round draft pick.
J.J. McCarthy can't either. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, hey, scouts still love him. They're impressed with his knowledge of the game. So he's going to be a top 10 pick or top 12 pick. Hey, Blake Corum. He might have put himself at the number one running back spot in the draft, maybe even moved up to the second round. Ran a 4.52, not incredibly fast, but his balance and the way he caught the ball as well at the combine. Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, man, outstanding, 4.33. Was impressive at the Senior Bowl, was impressive at the combine. Chop Robinson from Penn State, tremendous athlete. I mean, these all guys have really helped themselves. Dallas Turner, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, who actually got going to the Bengals in the second round. Another guy that was blazing fast. Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver from Florida. Man, his vertical jump was incredible. 42 inches, 4.41. He looked like he was going to be a good slot receiver. Jaheim Bell, tight end, Florida State. I got him going to the Bengals as well in the mid-rounds. Was phenomenal as well, 6'2", 241 pounds, also ran a 4.61 at the combine. All right, I'll stop there.
What about the tackle from Georgia? He was played the ball to the Bengals. So he had a crazy combine. What's his name? Was it Georgia? No, or Alabama.
You talking about offensive tackle from Georgia?
Yeah.
Mims. Right now I got him on 23 to Houston.
There's no way he goes past Cincinnati at 18. No chance.
JQ's wishful thinking for that one too. But he did a talk about a guy 6'7", was he 6'7", like 3.20 or 3.40, Rob, moving that fast? Something crazy like that?
Yeah, man.
Put it in the display, man.
I know there's some concerns about his medicals, but
medicals,
I see him going anywhere between 14 to 25 in this draft.
All right. Who wants to take the Jaden Daniels? Is that you, Rob, or is that you, JQ? Jaden Daniels shuts down the Patriot rumors. Is that you, Rob, or is that you, JQ? Who wants
to I'll think really quick. Obviously, there's no truth to those rumors. You know, he's open to going to any team, and he's kind of shot that down quickly on X. And an interview, so no truth to that.
All right,
man,
good stuff. Moving right along.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, you're right.
Go ahead. You got 48 seconds. 48 seconds, Jake. You get it in, man. Go.
No, I was just going to say, man, that dude's going two or three, man. He's going to want to stay in the top three. Like, you can say what you want to say. You go in there, and you got a new coach at Mayo. Like, I think he'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I've heard that Washington's in love with May from Carolina, so that could be rumors or smoke screens, but if you're going to go two or three as a quarterback and get that money and get that kind of value position, you're not going to turn it down.
Yeah. I actually got him going two to Washington right now.
Yeah, Washington.
We'll see how it plays out. All right, now we got the mock draft by you, Rob. So here it is. Go for it.
I guess my question to you guys, would you guys want me to go over the first round or you want me to kind of go over where I have your teams picked?
I would say what you normally do. Do like the top 10 and then skip.
Okay. All right. So I'll do the top 10 here really quick. And so number one, obviously, still got Caleb Williams to Chicago, Jaden Daniels to Washington. I actually got New England taking Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3 and then taking Michael Pitt Jr. in the second round. Possibly picking up a veteran quarterback. So
that would kill
we'll
the
see how that goes.
Kill the Cardinals. He'll cry if the Cardinals did that.
I got the Giants trading up to 4 to take Drake May. And I got the Chargers taking Dallas Turner, who was impressive at the combine, at number 5. Arizona trades down to number 6 and gets Brock Bowers from Georgia. Got a weapon for Kyler Murray. You got Tennessee taking Jared Verse. I got the Falcons taking Joe Alt, big 6'9", Joe Alt from Notre Dame. Got the Bears taking Malik Nabers, wide receiver LSU, give them another weapon. And Rome with DJ, who was also impressive at the combine and pass catching drills. I got him going to the Jets to hope to give Aaron Rodgers another weapon. Then I'll go over our teams really quick. I already talked about the Falcons with Joe Alt. Got the Falcons taking Ladd McConkey in the second round. Slot
like
receiver, 4.39. Also a good combine.
I like
Spencer Rattler in the third round. Spencer Rattler, 79.4 completion percentage in the third round. Good fundamentals this past year. Was pressured on 40% of his pass attempts at South Carolina. So his offensive line protection. Moving right along, the Falcons got two third-round picks. I got them taking Kyree Jackson in the third round, 6'3", excellent length. He's cornerback out of Oregon. I also got very good ball skills. Need to bulk up just a tad bit. I didn't mention this, but I actually had the Falcons trading down in the second round so they acquire additional fourth-round picks. So they trade down and get McConkey and get an additional fourth-round pick. So with the two fourth-round picks, got to take in two Michigan Wolverine players, Junior Colson, inside linebacker, got good size and strength, good side-to-side movement ability, and Mike Sanristu, cornerback, 5'10", 180, very fluid, plays good, with good vision, tackles well. His speed is not the best, which is all the reason why he's going to go late in the run. He's ran about a 4.5 something there. So at that size, you probably want him to be at 5'10", 180. You probably want him to be in the 4'3", 4'4 range. But it got him going in the fourth round. And in the fifth round, we got the Falcons taking Jalen Simpson, safety from Auburn, who can also play in the slot corner as well, 6 feet, 179 pounds. He's another guy that's very thin, needs to bulk up a little bit. He's going to be a safety in the NFL. My Saints, they got us taking Talisi Tuaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State, 6'6", 324. Very good pass protection technique. He's got great hand placement and strength. I mean, he may not even be there at 14 for the Saints. He could very well get picked ahead of 14, especially the way he performed at the combine as well. I got the Saints going with another offensive lineman in the second round. We got a lot of question marks on the offensive line. Graham Barton, 6'5", 313. He's probably going to play center or guard, even though he was a tackle in college. He's going to move inside in the NFL. And the Saints currently don't have any third or fourth round draft picks. We got a boatload of fifth round picks. So I got us taking Jalen Harrell, edge rusher from Michigan. He's probably going to be a third-down rusher in the NFL, not an every-down player. And Jaquan Jackson from Tulane, 5'11", 184, from ran a 4.42, probably going to be a slot receiver and a return guy in the NFL. And then also Sheraton Jones, cornerback from Clemson, ran a 4.6, so not very well from a corner, but he's got solid tape.
Wait. His first name is Sheraton, like the hotel?
Sheraton. S-H-E-R-I-D-A-N.
Oh, Sheraton. Okay, I was going to say, come on, Mom. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm bad.
Dylan McMahon, offensive guard from NC State. Kind of an undersized guard, but good for the Clint Kubiak scheme. So it'll be the third offensive lineman the Saints drafted. Good technique and intelligence. Just a little on the small side, 6'3", 299. And then last but not least, the four fifth-round picks, they pick Michael Wiley, running back from Arizona. He's got good size as well, 5'10", 210, ran a 4.51 at the combine. And the Bengals, offensive lineman in the first round, Jackson Powers Johnson, who's an interior lineman, can play center or guard.
Like him.
6'3", 328 pounds. He's got great upper body strength. Could play well in the run and pass game. Some question marks on Tyler Boyd. I know they franchise T. Higgins, but I got the Bengals taking Xavier Leggett in the second round, 4.39 40, 6'1", 221 pounds. McKinley Jackson, defensive tackle in the third round, 6'1", 320, 34-inch arms, who's very impressive at the Senior Bowl. And then the fourth round, they take a flyer on Michael Pratt, quarterback from Tulane, 6'3", 217, great leader, good athlete. Obviously, I project him as a solid NFL backup, but he's a guy that you can, you know, play quarterback and even mold him as a Taysom Hill type player too. He's that kind of an athlete as well. And then I mentioned early, Jaheim Bell, 6'2", 241, 4.61 40-yard dash, tight end from Florida State. And last but not least, since you do need to improve your secondary this offseason, Daquan Anthony, safety from Ole Miss, 6 feet, 195 pounds, ran a 4.55, hard-hitting safety, can also play some nickel corner as well. And on to the Cowboys. Got him taking Nate Wiggins, who had the second fastest time at the combine, 4.28 cornerback from Clemson. Obviously, there's going to be some question marks of Diggs. Is going to be healthy at the start of the season. So, you know, you get an opportunity to improve your secondary there. And then probably one of the fastest linebackers in the draft, a New Orleans kid, played at Texas A&M, Edgerrin Cooper, ran a 4.51, great sideline-to-sideline linebacker. Third round, Audric Estime, running back from Notre Dame, at 1,341 yards rushing and 18 touchdowns. Phenomenal job as far as from a break tackling ability. But he ran a 4.71 40. So we haven't had a running back.
You told me that mofo is. You know people are going to run fast.
he could be the perfect 1-2 combo with Tony Pollard, right? With his size, tackle breaking ability. Yeah, you got to re-sign him. But we haven't had a running back to get drafted in the NFL since 2015 that ran slower than a 4.65. But I think Aldrick will be drafted, and I got him going in the third round to the Cowboys here. And I got the Cowboys, I didn't mention this, but they traded down in the second round, and they acquired this third-round pick. Justin Ubegbe, defensive tackle from Alabama, 6'4", 292. Would definitely have to play the three-technique position or end in the 3-4. He's got great arm length, a solid player. He's not a tremendous athlete. He's just a sound technician. He doesn't have the measurements from an athletic standpoint. That's why you're going to see him go in the third or fourth round. And then I got the Cowboys in the fifth round taking a flyer on quarterback Gavin Hardison from UTEP. 6'1", 214. Got a strong arm. Needs to improve his accuracy, but he's a tremendous athlete. Very mobile as well. So there you have it.
I blame y'all. That took forever. It's all good. Thanks, Rob. All right, really quickly, JQ, you got 30 seconds.
Told y'all I'm alone.
Justin Fields. You are, man. Ladies and Justin Fields, go.
Well, we talked about last time, the market has just not really transpired like the Bears thought it would for Justin Fields. So I think it's still going to be a waiting game until the league year starts here on the 13th. And maybe even up until the draft. I still think if I'm Atlanta, I take a flyer on him versus a 35-year-old Kirk Cousins. I would love for him to come to Atlanta. I do not want that mofo to go to Pittsburgh. So Atlanta, just okay, figure that second and third round pick out and make it happen. But, yeah, they feel like they've got the Bears over a barrel because everybody knows that they want to trade him, so everybody's trying to suppress the market for Justin Fields at this point.
Well, I disagree with JQ. I'd rather see him go to Pittsburgh than go to Atlanta.
Yeah, no, I know you do. You suck
this bastard. Yeah, this guy, yeah, there it is. All right, keep it going here. So, Gary, back to you, man. Do you have the worst free agent signing in NFL history? I got one, and I want to see what you got for this. Go ahead, my guy.
Well, one of them that came to mind early on was way back in the day when Seattle got Franco Harris.
Oh, wow.
You know, he gained 170 yards for him in 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that came to mind was
I didn't think about that one.
You know, Nick Foles to the Jags. $91 million and a $50 million, you know, franchise tag. Those are the ones that came to mind mostly. Kenny Galladay, a $72 million. Yeah, 43 passes in 2 seasons. Not quite worth the money.
Yeah, so many on the list. I think we can go on for a long time. Dana Sutherland, you can go back to that one. You can go back to, like, Jeff Garcia to the Browns. There's so many back, man. Freaking Peerless Price.
Le'Veon Bell.
Man, I can go forever. Man, all these different things, man, that could have gone, could have, should have, would have. Alvin Harper.
But Albert Haynesworth might be the worst of all time.
Albert Haynesworth was one, too, yeah.
RDI.
So we can kind of go back. There's so many. There's so many different ones. That's really quick. The worst trades in NFL history, we got this here. So, again, Gary, go ahead and talk about this, man.
This Russell Wilson, trade, you know, that's got to be right up there, one or two, I think. $85 million in
there's only one
money.
Herschel Walker.
Thank you.
Of course, Herschel Walker. You know, Herschel Walker. That was one where, you know, we got three first round picks, two third round picks, and a sixth round pick, and they got Herschel Walker for a couple of seasons, and he did all right.
You'll never
there,
see that for a running back.
We were able to draft Emmitt Smith.
No.
Russell Maryland, Darren Woodson.
Darren Woodson.
Yeah, yeah. One of them back in the day is that came to my mind was John Hadle to Green Bay. They got a first-round pick, second-round pick, plus a third-round pick the next year for him. And, you know, the guy was a – 32-year-old quarterback that a lot of people already knew was washed up. He went 7-12 for the Packers. He threw 9 touchdowns and 29 picks.
Look here,
Mad Dog. Nobody wants to go back into the annals with you about these picks. If Dallas and Minnesota were Herschel Walker, they built the whole dynasty off that trade. There's nothing that would ever come close to that, I don't think, ever.
That is the worst.
I'll give you a second one whenever we traded for Jeff George for the Falcons. That was pretty bad right there too, man. So, but you know, again, that was a bad one for the Falcons back in the day, man. But the worst to take the cake was definitely Herschel Walker trade, man.
And not
to
take on the Falcons. The Falcons trading Brett Favre. You know,
you
can't know that.
That was on there too. Yeah,
you can't know that.
He was a
pill head in Atlanta and a drunk. You cannot know he was going to go to Green Bay and do that. You can't know that.
That's a 50-51 too. And then Steve Largent to the Seahawks was one. Urchin to the Colts. Charles Taylor to the Cowboys.
Hey.
DeAndre Hopkins
Deshaun
to the
Watson
Cardinals
to the Browns.
That I had. That was one too. Yep, same one. So there's a couple of ones that were kind of taking the cake as far as the worst trades in history. So
Deshaun Watson to the Browns, and you know. And you look at Deshaun Watson, so both the Falcons and the Saints were trying to acquire him too. And hey, now you look at it and like, even though our quarterback situation is not great, you're kind of glad you didn't give up the house with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
right.
Kind of
you know which one I love? Was it Champ Bailey for Clinton Portis? No.
Oh, wow.
Who did Clinton Portis get traded for? That was a really great trade, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm going to be in derail.
No. You're good. Hey, what's next on T. Higgins? Thank you.
Listen, so just give me a second. I want people to relax about this. People just don't want T. Higgins to be in Cincinnati. They don't want Cincinnati to prosper. That is what I have come up with. The salary cap just went up. We had all the salary cap space before the salary cap went up. Listen, Tyler Boyd is done. Understand that. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Joe Mixon. You can find a running back. I like Brown, the kid from Illinois, but you got to pair him with a bigger back. But you can franchise him and work on getting a longer-term deal done, and then we could talk about this closer to the trade deadline if you don't get anything done. But everybody's so quick to have T. Higgins be out of Cincinnati, and I just don't understand it. I would give him probably $5 more million than Mike Evans got in Tampa Bay for three years, and say, let's do it. You want to be a free agent anyway in 3 years because the salary cap is going to go up again. So let's get a 2 to 3 year deal where the third year is maybe a mutual option or something like that and figure that shit out. Stop trying to get T. Higgins off of Cincinnati, everybody. I'm just hating.
There it is. Good job. Gave me extra time. Rob, what's the latest on Baker Mayfield?
Well, I mean, obviously the Bucs decided to franchise Antoine Winfield instead of Baker Mayfield, which on in their part I think it was the right decision that they were going to franchise one of the two players. To franchise Winfield over Baker. So they got a week to get a deal done before free agency kicks in. And we know if the Bucks don't get him signed by then, there's going to be suitors, including possibly the Falcons, as a possible potential landing spot for Baker Mayfield. I think the Patriots, if they decide to go that route and draft a quarterback like Penix in the second round. So there's going to be some suitors for him. But I think the Bucks are still the favorite to land.
Mike Evans only signs if Baker's going to sign.
What's next for Austin Ekeler?
Driving a bus. Sorry. I don't know.
I'm surprised that the teams that will be interested in them right now, they're saying kind of like the favorites would be kind of like the Chiefs. I heard even the Cowboys would be interested in them and the Rams. And so we look at those three teams as possibly a possible option. Now, you got to see what's going to happen with Saquon Barkley and the Giants, Derrick Henry and Tennessee. So there's going to be a lot of – and also the Raiders with Josh Jacobs. So I think you can, depending on if those teams lose those backs. And JQ mentioned it earlier with Joe Mixon. You know, if he leaves the Bengals, you know, it's Eckler, a possibility of Cincinnati.
Let's get Saquon. Oh, my God.
Austin Ekeler wasn't used right this last season compared to previous season. You know, they got a pass-happy offensive coordinator now. He was underutilized. So I think him getting out and getting to a team that wants to run the ball will be his best move. And he's probably going to end up being probably the best bargain of these acts. So I think that's why Dallas would go for him is because they're, you know, salary cap strapped, and that might be a good bargain for him.
Top five NFL free agents. Go, Gary.
Dylon. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Gary.
Chris Jones, D-line. Kirk Cousins, quarterback. Josh Allen, edge rusher. T. Higgins, of course. We just talked about that. Ryan Burns.
He's not a free agent.
Those would be – who is it?
T. Higgins is not a free agent. He's got a franchise.
Oh, okay. He did. Okay. My bad, I was in. Anyway, that's who I have.
I got Chris Jones, Danielle Hunter, Legarius Sneed, Kirk Cousins, and Christian Wilkins. I've got those on my top five right now, too. So I'm just kind of firing off.
Legarius Sneed also got tagged.
He got franchised.
He just
as well.
Got tagged today. Yeah, I just saw that too. But there's a way to make a trade. Come on, Falcons.
Yeah, he got tagged some days ago.
Too, so.
Go ahead, Rob. Please educate him.
I just saw that with Sneed too. I saw that with Sneed too. So yeah, whenever I was writing that up too. So
you guys covered a few.
Jones
was
his brother. Obviously. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jones. Obviously, Kirk Cousins. And, you know, I know we pick on Kirk Cousins a lot, but before his injury last year, he was off to a heck of a start last year. I mean, obviously, I know he's going into 35 years. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. He's going to have a lot of suitors, of course, including possibly returning to Minnesota. A lot of talk with Atlanta as well. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from Miami.
Yes, sir.
So he's going to be one that's going to be at the top of a lot of teams' list, right up there with Chris Jones. The Dolphins didn't franchise him. Andre already mentioned him. Then Danielle Hunter, LSU, he's coming off two big years. One year in a 3-4 scheme, and then he had another year, big year in a 4-3 scheme. So it don't matter what scheme you put him in. And even at 33 years old, I think Tyron Smith is still the quality starting offensive tackle, which somebody the Bengals should be trying to reach out to when free agency hits. So I'm surprised that Dallas is supposedly letting him go, but I still think he's a top five free agent, even at his age.
I can't believe that y'all don't have Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley in the top five. I can't believe that. Christian McCaffrey was beat up in Carolina, and we all wrote him off when he was in San Francisco and found new life and was the power and the engine to that offense. Those two guys can absolutely go to the right spot and have the same kind of value for a team. We got to stop depressing the running back market. Those two guys are special. I'm not going to put Derrick Henry in there because Derrick Henry's been beat up a lot. He's a bigger dude. He takes a lot more hits. But those two dudes are three down backs that I just mentioned, and they can also catch the ball out the backfield. You can keep them on the field on third down. I think somebody's going to mess around and fall into Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley. We're going to say, damn.
I just want to clarify my statement, too, because
good call.
Whenever
I'm not ready to put running backs up there yet.
Yeah, I'm not ready to put running backs up there either. I just want to say whenever I talk about Jerry Sneed, there was a situation where you can still make a trade for a player even though he is franchise tagged. So that's even though he was franchise tagged, there are still 7 teams that inquired about LeJarius Sneed, too. So even though he was tagged, there is a situation, and they said that he may not get
a chance. But that's a trade and not free agency. You got to give him a compensation for that.
100% understand, but I'm saying, too, whenever I was looking that up, because I remember I was reading that, and I was like, hey, there's an opportunity, because it was interesting when I was looking up the top free agents and whatnot, too. They were saying that even though he was tagged, there's still opportunity for people that they're going to actually – there's a possibility that he can still be traded for. So that's my little disclaimer for that.
And the Chiefs the Chiefs are allowing him and his agent to seek a trade as well, but also leaving a door open for a return to the Chiefs as well.
They just trying to see what the market will bear.
Yep.
Fair enough. And well, that could be a situation. It could be the same thing with Lamar Jackson. Just to see what it is, and they're going to re-sign him. So, yeah, good stuff. All right, keep this going here. We got about a couple minutes here. We got about 13 minutes here. Top five catchers by Major League Baseball, Rob. 30 seconds.
I'm going to throw that one to JQ.
Shit, JQ. JQ didn't come prepared for that one. I don't know. That's like catchers like Realmuto and like catchers like that.
Yeah. You know, obviously you got Realmuto from the Phillies up there for sure.
Sean Murphy.
I guess you got to throw Will Smith in there from the Dodgers. Sean Murphy as well from Big Houston, Oakland.
Yeah,
the rookie from the Orioles, Adley Rutschman, man, he was phenomenal as well.
Yes, he is.
And I guess the guy I would go in there is maybe Wilson Contreras from the Cardinals.
Yeah.
All right, here you go, JQ. The predictions for the Lakers, Celtics, and Heat for the rest of the season. You got. I'm gonna give you 30 seconds for this, man. There it is. Go.
Oh, okay. The Lakers in the play-in game. I don't know if they get out the play-in, to be honest. If they get matched up with Denver, we see what's happening with that. Miami is going to be sneaky again. I think the East is susceptible right now with the injuries that's happened. I think the Celtics make it to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're going to probably have to meet the Bucks, and that's going to be the series that we all want to see at this point. And I don't know if they get out of that. They could, but Boston's been head and shoulders above everybody else right now to me. But I don't want to see them Bastards win nothing. But I still think they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
There it is. Really quick update. The Golden State was up by 20 on Milwaukee. They're clawing their way back in. They got a 9-point lead right now, too. So it's interesting to watch that game right now. Anything else you want to add to that, Rob?
No, you said it. The Bucks have cut the lead down to, it's 11-point game now. Somebody from Golden State must have just hit three. But 11-point game. But, the Bucks are definitely making a run in it. Antetokounmpo, 19 points. Lillard, 17 points. We'll see what happens in the fourth quarter. Curry's got 20.
Come on, Milwaukee.
Fantasy
shout-outs. Andre, the biggest win of the week, 8-0 shutout. And JQ still dominating in first place with 112-59-1 record. So congratulations to two of our co-hosts. So like I said, Andre, 8-0 win. JQ in first place, 112-59-1 record. Those are fantasy shout-outs. We're getting down to the stretch run here.
Yes, we are. I need a buy because we
hurt. It's going to be hard to catch JQ right now. I'm trying to pull up the stops here. Top five college football teams heading to the spring ball. Rob, JQ. Rob, I don't know if you want to start this or who wants to grab this, but you got a minute for both of y'all, so there it is.
Go ahead, Rob.
Georgia,
I want to be a homer.
I got Georgia and Ohio State as 1A and 1B. So both of those two teams have a lot of talent. Carson Beck. Ohio State's got a lot of guys that could be in this year's draft right now that came back to school. So they're going to be loaded as well. So I got those two teams as 1A and kind of 1B. Oregon, even losing Bo Nix. I got them number 3. They got Dillon Gabriel coming into the quarterback position. They got a lot of returning talent as well on that football team. I think they're well coached. Mm-hmm. So I got Oregon at the number 3 spot, and I got Texas. Quinn Ewers, going to be one of the top returning quarterbacks in the country. at Texas, and my surprise team at 5, Ole Miss.
Okay.
Like
Ole Miss.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin.
Yep. He's got a ton of talent coming back this year as well. Jackson Dart at the quarterback position. They did lose Jenkins to Ohio State, but I don't think it's going to hurt them a whole lot. They got a ton of talent coming back. So if you look at that top 5, at 3 SEC and 2 Big Ten teams.
Gary, what you got?
Yeah, I don't.
My guy?
Yeah.
I'm good with that. I'm good.
It's hard to put somebody at 5. I don't know.
Yeah, 5 seconds
for you and that or Will Howard? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I go to Will Howard. Listen, Will Howard better watch his back, even the shower, even the picnic. He better watch his back because that Ohio State quarterback room is so loaded right now. They went from being really sorry last year to having all those dudes ain't staying. And I'd be interested to see really what happens with Aaron Nolan because I feel like he's going to be the one that's going to be the odd man out because they got saying to transfer from Alabama to Ohio State. So I really liked Aaron Nolan, but I think he's going to be in trouble. But, yeah, Howard better be playing good ball. He's going to find himself on the bench because that quarterback room in Ohio State is loaded.
Nice. Good job. Got underneath the gun. Really quickly, the SEC football predictions. I've got mine, Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, Missouri. I'm sorry, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Missouri is what I've got on my top 5. Go, Rob. What you got?
You know my top 3 because I had them in the top 5. So I got Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss in the top 3. I actually got LSU as 4. I got Alabama dropping to 5. Man, they lost 25 players to the transfer portal, and they were impact players too. So I got them dropping down. Obviously, they still got Jalen Muro, so I think they'll be a good team. I just don't think they'll be a national championship contending team. And they got Tennessee at number 6.
I'll
put Alabama at 5 in that other conversation.
Yeah, I thought about them at 5, too, because everyone's worried about how they're going to do it. But they're still Alabama, so even though right now, until they get knocked down, I mean, it's still kind of they're still Alabama in my assessment. What led to Saban's retirement? I think JQ can touch base on that. We talked about the NIL stuff. Maybe he was old. I'd love to hear you talk about that, Gary, as well. So you got a minute. Each of you go for it.
It was what you just said. He couldn't have the control that he wanted to have anymore. He said it. He didn't like the way they acted after they lost that game. And everybody was worried about the playing time, what the NIL money was going to look like. And he says, you know what? This is no longer for me. So you said it. That's exactly where it was. He said, the game is starting to pass me by, and I'm not going to take these losses on this record that's pristine right now. I'm just going right off into the sunset and let y'all tell me how great of a coach I am.
Yeah, it was perfect timing, you know. Get out while you're good. Don't go back and give him an inch. You know, he went out and he held his ground. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said guys were more worried about how much you were going to pay me and how much playing time am I going to have so I can make a decision if I'm going to transfer. I thought that was interesting, too.
Yeah. Fact.
He said, I'm not doing that no more. Like you said, perfect timing.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Gentlemen, we hit 32 of the 34 topics. We have Naj on the line. Naj, we were trying to do some serious rapid fire, if you will, my guy. We've got literally 6 minutes left in the show. I don't know if you want to add something else before we get to the last two topics. We were able to accomplish a great deal in this particular episode for tonight. What's up, Naj?
I'm gonna keep in the spirit of the show and keep it fast. Nick Saban had his Tommy Lee Jones and Men in Black moment. He said, you ever look up at the stars? Yeah, your man wanted to go, man. Like, any excuse you do. Look at them ungrateful dudes in the locker room throwing their helmets. But, man, he was ready to go, dog. It didn't matter what they did. He was up out of there.
Wow. That's a perfect segue. Did you want to talk about the top – I love it. Do you want to talk about the top QB set in the 2024 guys, Gary, JQ, Rob?
In college or NFL?
College. Mm-hmm. College football top. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have been a little more clear with that. Yeah, for college.
Jeez.
Well,
yeah.
I think you got to look at Shedeur Sanders, of course, from Colorado, you know, coming back.
No, the hell
I
you
think
don't.
You got to include him in that mix.
Oh,
we talked about – We talked about, I think Carson Beck from Georgia is going to be better this year, too. So I think you're going to keep him in that mix. Quinn Ewers from Texas. We talked about Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. Cameron Ward at Miami. I think he's going to be right there. And another guy, he was a freshman last year at Arizona, Noah Fifita. I thought he was going to transfer when his coach left, but he's staying at Arizona. He's small, he's short, but, man, he put up some big-time numbers last year at Arizona. So, you know, he's another guy to pay attention to as well.
You left out Will Howard. It's got to be Howard. That transfer to Ohio State from Kansas State with all the hype that Ohio State has, he's got to be on the list. I'm not saying he's going to be an NFL dude, but he's got to be on there. Like, this right now is his job to lose because it's only 1 year for him. So they're going to pistol him in as a starter. But what he does to fend off that quarterback room and how he performs now when you got to deal with these dudes coming from the Pac-12 now, it's going to be a huge storyline this year. He's got to be in the top five.
Okay. I definitely put him in the top
five
over Sanders, that's for sure.
Yeah, man, look forward to worried about it. All they want to do is go to the dispensary and hang out with movie stars. I'm not convinced that Colorado is really about winning games. Colorado is about being celebrities. And so they prove me wrong, that's what I'm going to go with.
Well, that's what Lanning said. That is all about about how many clicks they get, right?
And he wasn't wrong.
Well, add my boy from Cal, Mendoza. I don't know if he's actually good, but that boy won some prop bets for me last year. Shout out to the University of Cal.
I love how Dodge comes in. Same thing kind of like, this is a shout out to lowly ACC and just, I'm proud of what Haynes can do for Georgia Tech too. He's not on the national stage as everyone else, but just a really good quarterback play. Put up some great numbers, and I'm excited to see what he does in the ACC now. That's a lot of these guys are gone too. Drake May, Jordan Travis, all those guys too. So I'm just happy how he played well too. So that's my 2 cents on that one too. So good stuff. Rob, I just had to put that up. The top five NHL teams, Rob, when you wrap up the 34th topic. Well, I did it anyway. It's all good.
We giving hockey some love on the show. We rarely do, but – the Florida Panthers, I got them number one right now. They're probably the hottest team in the NHL right now. They've been a team that's been knocking on their door the last few years, so we'll see if they're able to knock it all the way down this year. The Vancouver Canucks, I got them in number two. Boston Bruins, I got them number three, even though they're the same division with the Panthers. The Dallas Stars, four, and to me, one of the young, fastest teams in the league, at number five, the New York Rangers at the five spot.
Hey, I just have to say, JQ, Rob always.
You got to put Emerson in there with Connor McDavid, though. Like, if you got Connor McDavid, you got a chance. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. He's probably the most exciting player to watch in hockey right now.
There it is.
Yeah, define exciting.
Listen, hockey is good. Don't come in here with that hockey blasphemy.
Define exciting. They are a lot of fun to go to those games, I'll be honest. My time in Tampa, I got into the NHL a little bit. But, ladies and gentlemen, y'all recognize the music here. That's the end of our show for tonight, end of our live portion of the show. And tonight, we'll be back at you on next Wednesday night. For our peeps on the East Coast, Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, and y'all going back to the Eastern Conference Final this year. We want to hear from y'all at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Milwaukee, we want to know if y'all got something to say about it. Going to hear from y'all in the Central Time Zone. It's going to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on next week. And the Denver Nuggets is doing Denver Nugget things right now. 9 p.m. for those of you all in Denver. And can the Lakers and the Warriors make a run here and knock on these playoff doors here? That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Warriors and Lakers fans out there on the West Coast. Good night, people.
I'm a Lakers fan. I'm just gonna be objective. This is just me. Come on, Cincinnati. You can't let Joey Votto be out here posting on Instagram where he's sitting on the bus stop waiting on somebody like Forrest Gump, trying to come pick him up and put him on the team. If you don't re-sign Joey Votto and bring him in for that clubhouse for that young team that was exciting last year, I'm gonna know something. I don't know what happened. Where y'all start yelling at each other? Bring Joey Votto home. Good night, people.
I want to give the call to
Cincinnati. It's going to be 11 o'clock Eastern time for y'all next week. Want to hear from y'all ready.
He's ready. Really quick shout out to you guys, especially, you know, Gary and Rob early on, because we literally piled through those topics, man. I was pretty hot on the trigger, man. So 30 seconds in, you guys were just on fire. So thank you for that. We have set a record getting through 34 topics tonight, too. So that was pretty impressive. Not sure if we'd have made it if JQ was on. I'm, you know, a lot of love for JQ, but I don't know. We were on fire, man. So
damn.
What kind of shit is that?
We were through those twelve topics in like 17
like
minutes.
10, 11 minutes, man.
It was crazy.
This is the dry season of sports. Y'all was reheating them leftovers. Boy, y'all did a good job. Y'all got through that many topics, man. Y'all put them leftovers and put them to work.
The thing is, we normally get about, I think we average about 7 to 10 per show, and we spend a lot of time. So this was just like rapid fire answering, because we can literally talk through, if all four of us, five of us talk about a particular thing, we go around the horn, which is totally fine. But I'm just saying, we normally can spend a lot of time talking through certain topics, so we never get a chance to even get in the 20s whenever Rob has all those topics. So this was definitely a Herculean effort, say the least, too. So I'm proud of that moment. So yeah.
No, salute to y'all. I saw First Take arguing about Wilt versus Russell the other day. Things was bad. There's no sports news right now. Like, you got to put in work and come up with topics. So, y'all did the thing.
Hey, you know what? I am tired. Listen, Gary, I know that's your team, but Lord have mercy. If they don't stop talking about the Cowboys and Dak Prescott and the winning culture, just let that shit go. It's ever.
Oh, what's this winning culture shit? I'm a Cowboy fan, and I don't understand it. Dak Prescott thinks he's got a winning culture there.
Every day is ridiculous.
I'm like, so I'm with Notch on that. Yeah, y'all did a heck of a job. I don't like being a scapegoat for this shit tonight, though, but that's cool. But,
you were
yeah, we don't have to talk about the couch.
JQ, I was just messing with you. I was just saying, see what I'm saying? Like, normally we kind of go off the rails a little bit because we just all have great things to say. So it's like, it was, you know, we were kind of like, you know. So, again, you know, I wasn't trying to say like it was like, you know, I'm saying we were.
No, you said what you said. Like,
so
I got you. You said what you said. It's fine.
With my chest. With my chest.
So you said it with your
chest.
I kind of like
8 to 10 topics where we all have something to say. I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah,
what about you,
Rob? During the business,
you like it like
season,
this,
we
or?
Got real good topics. Yeah.
No, this is hard to see out today.
Andre, you're doing your Les Miles invitation? You got to have the chest to have a play quarterback.
He said it with his chest. He said that motherfucker JQ coming here, all he do is derail the show. He said it with his chest.
Dre, don't take it personal, man. Malik Monk is frying the Lakers right now, so he's in a special place.
See?
You
know, see? Here we come with that hate.
That's funny.
Just
hey,
hate.
JQ, we know you're the GOAT of the show, so it's all good. We appreciate you. All we were saying was that there's a couple topics that we're kind of sick of hearing. We talk about the Cowboys. I'm sick of hearing what's going to happen with Chicago and, you know, Justin Fields and Kirk Cousins. I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Yes, Lord.
1 minute he's good, then he's moving to Atlanta. Then this. I figure out. I don't even know what the truth is anymore. So just damn it, just in, you know, a couple days, is it March 13th or whatever? Just figure out who the hell our quarterback's going to be for the Falcons, and let's get that shit over with, because it's really getting annoying, man. Because, like, every time I look up, like, Justin said his family's going to move. Oh, okay. Mike Flores. I'm like, Mike Flores a hater. Then you got, what? Kyle Pitts said that he's a liar. Like, what? Justin Fields is jumping up and down. Is he excited to play for the Falcons? Oh, the Steelers were the number one. Steelers got the inside track for Justin Fields. Oh, Steelers like Kenny Pickett. Like, what the hell? We don't know what's going down, man. It's really, really, really annoying. So that's
I hope they keep Kenny Pickett forever.
You know, getting on the Justin Fields, you know, I think what's going to happen with the Justin Fields thing is, you know, I think it's just me talking here. I think Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield are going to go off the board first. And then I think whatever teams that are left still looking for a quarterback, then I think that's when they might heat up a little bit for Justin Fields, right? So I think that's kind of the way things are going to go, you know, next week when free agency starts. So I think the Bears are probably going to have to wait. And I'm not even ruling out the Bears having to keep Fields for a while, you know, before they can move him, right? And to see what team they may be in a desperate need for a quarterback, right? So I don't think they got to rush this thing for the Bears. But I do think Cousins and Baker Mayfield are going to go first. And then maybe the market for Fields might heat up a little bit. Or they might have to
Justin
wait to see if a quarterback don't get what they want out of the draft too, right? Because there's some, you know, there are a lot of things. I mean, you got, look how many teams that's in this draft that's top of the draft need a quarterback here. You're talking about the Bears, the Patriots, the Commanders. You can possibly throw the Giants in there,
Giants.
The Falcons.
Yep.
Ain't no possible.
The Vikings, the Raiders.
Yep.
So, you know, it
the Broncos.
The Broncos.
Yeah, that's true.
They
got
their
12th pick.
So there's somebody's going to be left out here.
Listen,
yeah.
Justin Fields
is
going to be arm wrestling, like, over the top. Like, they're going to be somewhere like, man,
I
want
to hear what Nas says
about
Baker.
Me too. Go ahead.
First of all, Baker should give some of that money to Mike Evans, wherever he signed. And whoever signs him is going to be so disappointed because he's not good. He went to the Tampa Bay Reclamation Project. They make you look like you something. And when he goes somewhere else, they're going to find out. And Kirk tore his Achilles last year, and he's 35. Like, what is it? Somebody need to go sign Russell Wilson for the low and get him out there as game manager guy for cheap, and you're good to go. And as far as the Bears, Pace is walking around with that phone next to his ear hoping that somebody don't accidentally call him. Because then it's going to expose that he's been faking it this whole time, that he got all kind of deals coming in. Yeah, deals. He's just walking around saying cap space deals. Man, ain't nobody calling that.
Hey, Andre, what's up with the Virginia Tech helmet, man?
Oh, shout out to my guy Tristan. He actually got me a signed Michael Vick Virginia Tech helmet, believe it or not. So this is what he got me for.
Okay, all right. Well,
for my birthday, so it actually
right,
came in. So he actually got this for me too. So I love it. It's actually officially signed by Mike Vick right there. You see the M7 right there. So you know, not that you know, I was a fan, but that was kind of a cool gift. So he wanted to show me some love with that.
So Andre, so he was flexing. He was out here flexing on the show. That's what he said.
I was flexing.
That's a cool gift.
I'm glad that Robert noticed it. Yeah, it's a really great gift. I was like, man, that's pretty pretty thoughtful. So shout out to Tristan for showing me some love for that as well, man. So that was just a really, really cool gift, man. So anyway,
yeah,
I figured I would show that.
I was thinking you gave up on Georgia Tech.
Right.
I thought you said flexing. Well, that's a serious gift from another dude. Like, hey, man, I love you. Like, wow. Are you a fan? Did you deliver his kid? Like, that's a serious gift.
Right. He's a really big sportsman, really good guy, so I was proud. Good. What are you about to say, Nas? Go ahead.
No, just right put your hand in the helmet and feel towards the top.
See?
And what you'll find is a Mike Vick apology, because he's still on that apology tour ever since the incident.
Oh,
so yeah, there's an apology in there, man. Handwritten to Michael Vick for you, brother. It's in there.
That's pretty hilarious. I'm going to say this last thing when it comes to Rob just kind of addressing the last elephant in the room with Justin Fields, and it's crazy, right? Because I kind of agree with JQ. I think that as you listen to all the interviews and whatnot, too, it's like that would be kind of a great fit for us to kind of have a younger quarterback that's already been playing in the league, that's just young enough to come in and he can be molded to help what's happening with the Falcons. But I do the situation of thinking about, you know, the art of winning now. So that's something, too, that's kind of where the Kirk Cousins thing does keep coming up. Naj, I'm with you. He's 35. The Achilles, it is a challenge. But if you're ready to kind of take that next step, that is the guy that's the better quarterback.
Oh,
if you think
God.
About that. But there's no excitement with Kirk Cousins at all. I think that Justin Fields has a lot of talent. You know, so he can be – you got to coach him up, man. That's the dude right there. He's a dynamic player, running and passing. But, yeah, go ahead.
If you put Justin Fields with those weapons and he's coming back home, the celebration, and he go in there and he threw up some kind of Gainesville High School sign, and the dome just, you know, the roof just comes off the bands. Like, your point, that's my point. The excitement of putting him
with the Pitts and the London. Oh my gosh, and the Robinson. You have to, it makes too much sense. And I get it. They're probably trying to get it him so we have to get a third round pick instead of a second round pick. But that offense would be so electric with Justin Fields and the vision. Here's my thing. In the vision, and really right now, if you look at the NFC as a whole, you got the Cowboys fighting amongst themselves. You got Philadelphia fighting amongst themselves. You get San Francisco. Okay, you put San Francisco aside and say San Francisco, San Francisco, they're going to be there. Right. But you're watching those two teams that play in the same division, not imploding, but having internal friction and structure and, you know, problems with each other, with themselves right now in Dallas and Philadelphia. You don't have to have Kirk Cousins come and have to be this 1 or 2 year kind of wonderkin. You can win that division and just have a whole problem in the playoffs. Justin Fields, like, it's not the AFC where you're walking through these landmines of, you know, Mahomes and Lamar and Josh and Joe, you know, and CJ. Like, damn, like, you don't have those problems in the NFC. You can get Justin Fields and pay him a going rate of a quarterback and just see what happens. Like, it makes too much sense for Justin not to come to Atlanta.
I agree.
I think we probably need to stick with Desmond Ritter.
But see, that's what I'm talking about. You see the video where he's jumping up, and you're like, he's excited for something. Why? They're like, why is he excited? He's like, oh, I'm just excited because, you know, you're like,
happy
for
that
Cincinnati
kid in Atlanta.
Man, listen, he sucked. I told you when they drafted him, he sucked. Like, I didn't sugarcoat that to me. Desmond Ritter, it's not that dude. You go back and listen to the tape. I told you Desmond Ritter wasn't that dude.
He did say that.
Justin Fields
did say that.
I
remember
that.
I told
you that. Justin Fields, the excitement that he would bring coming home to this franchise when shit break down on 2nd and 13, and he juju with Jose's shoes and take it 45 yards to the house, and that building just explodes. Like, Kirk Cousins can't do that for them. It makes too much sense for him not to be in Atlanta.
I agree 1,000%. I'm just waiting for that's why, like you said, I'm so pulling for
because it makes so much sense. You're probably going to take Cousins.
That's what I'm scared about. We are way too high
on Cousins and way too low on Russell Wilson. To me, you're looking at similar outcomes. Because point blank period, when did we decide the fantasy production of Kirk Cousins was real life football good? Don't forget the fourth down, him throwing the ball into the turf. Don't forget, like, the many miscues over the years in Washington and Minnesota. It looks nice when we're throwing jump balls at Justin Jefferson, but outside of that, what do we really know Kirk for? Getting paid.
Go to the next one. When your nickname is solar powered because you can't play at night, that tells you everything you need to know. People are really calling this fool solar powered Cousins because he can't play at night. Like, that's bad, bro. That's Andy Dalton bad. You know what I'm saying? If he ain't playing at 1 o'clock on Sunday, he sucks. And people all know it, and we joke about it, and we just take it as a truth and laugh about it amongst ourselves at the bar, at the barbershop, at the car wash. Like, everybody just sitting there laughing about it. Why are we making him the next Steve Young? Like, Joe Montana, like, what is happening with the Kirk Cousins type? I'm with you, Naj. It's crazy. His nickname is Solar Power. And we all know
funny. I'm friends with quite a few Viking fans, and they're hoping that the Falcons sign Kirk Cousins to get him off of their hands. they would rather start fresh with J.J. McCarthy.
Which is just, and that's the most ridiculous. I don't know how a dude can come out there and the NFL Network on Twitter can make fun of his throws at the combine and he rises in the rankings. I said, how? How does that happen? He's out here throwing, you got Penix throwing with his right hand better than J.J. McCarthy throwing his best hand. And J.J. moves up in the draft. I know I hate J.J. and the Wolverines, but I've never seen nothing like that, where a dude comes out there and it's just bad throwing in the combine. Like, you know who moved up in the combine rankings in the draft? J.J. McCarthy. What? You just liked him anyway. That's wild.
He might be an option for the Falcons, too, number 8.
Oh, man, come on, man. We all got to stop at number 8. We once had a Sports Illustrated cover with Cam Newton and Blaine Gabbert on it with the idea of the decision. So just never forget, man. Every year about this time, they do this. They push somebody up the board who shouldn't be there. Man.
Ryan Leaf, there's an interview where he said that there's a problem with, like, was he talking about Caleb? Or I saw something that he was like, yeah, he's not a good quarterback. Like, Ryan Leaf, bro, you better really, like, that's like a pot calling the kettle fat. Kettle Black, if that's not anything, man. It was crazy to see that for sure, man. But
yeah, my man Ryan was trying to get aggregated. My man was trying to get aggregated. If I make this statement, it would be all over the internet. I flip that to a radio job.
but also a bad quarterback might be crazy. He's seen another bad quarterback.
To JC's point, if you look at some updated mock drafts. Right now, I don't have J.J. McCarthy going this high just yet, but there's some mocks that have J.J. McCarthy now have leapfrogged Drake May, and J.J. is going as high as number 6 overall in the draft.
That's wild.
See, that's wild.
Dang.
I hope he goes to the AFC.
Wow.
Suck.
Yeah,
hey, that firm handshake could take you a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He had a firm handshake, handled himself well.
Yep. Quite a few mocks. Right, the Giants taking J.J. McCarthy at number 6 right now.
I'm going to bed. That's foolish talk. That's a good conversation ender because that's so stupid.
Gary, appreciate you. Rob, appreciate you. JQ, appreciate you. Nas, thank you for calling through as always. You had a great show. Enjoy your week. Please be safe. I would say something about asparagus, Rob, but we know you're going to probably eat as much of that as you can. Anyway, see you guys same time. Same channel next week. Really appreciate you guys. Be good. I'm sure we'll be texting.
Yes, sir.
Peace out, guys.
Hi, fellas.
Nice, fellas.
Peace out.